At a time of global uncertainty, one superpower economy has not only withstood the storm, but if the figures are to be believed, could even be on the way back up again. It's said often enough that China is now Asia's economic giant, and with its voracious appetite for raw materials, Australia's major trading partner has contributed in no small way to this country's growth. But there are those who think that China's model could soon run out of steam unless some major reforms are taken. In particular, critics of the Chinese system say that the government's huge state-owned enterprises need to withdraw from the economy rather than further spread their influence. China correspondent Stephen McDonnell reports.
While others flounder, the Chinese economy continues to grow. Even at a slower rate, it's still clocking a remarkable 8% GDP growth. What's more, as the Chinese economy gets larger, these smaller percentages actually represent more growth because it's coming off a larger base. So why do some Chinese officials seem concerned when they talk about their country's long-term prognosis? The answer is that there are certain policymakers and China watchers who think the economic model here may have been great to a certain point, but they now believe that unless there are major reforms undertaken, this huge economic engine will start to run out of steam. Former journalist and now China analyst James McGregor is one person who thinks a radical overhaul of the Chinese system is required. He's just finished writing a book about this very subject, entitled No Ancient Wisdom, No Followers, and he spoke to correspondents in Beijing about the problems China faces with its huge state-owned companies.
To give these companies their due, China would never be where it is today without them. Without state planning, state banks, and all these state-owned enterprise in construction or rail or whatever, you would never have the infrastructure that we have today in China. So that's pretty incredible. The problem is that day has now run out because they add zero growth. They add zero job growth. And where am I getting this from? In, I think it was April or March 2011, the Unirule Institute, run by Mao Yushi, this 83-year-old economist, came out with a study on the big state-owned enterprise in China. And their conclusion was these big SOEs actually, even though they have billions in profits, are unprofitable.
The debate in this area is very complex, and people can't even agree on the parameters to argue on. Part of the problem for analysts trying to get to the very heart of the Chinese economy is that solid information about money flowing around this country is often simply not available. James McGregor drew in part on a World Bank study.
Basically, they say you've got to change everything. You have to disempower state enterprise. You've got to find ways to get credit to private enterprise. You have to make the government basically a service element instead of a controlling element for business and the economy. I'm very optimistic about reform because there is no choice. If you want to keep growth going here, you have to have reforms.
One problem for the Chinese economy actually springs from its growing affluence. It's a problem that's to the benefit of its neighbours like Vietnam that can now undercut it on production costs.
When a country reaches 5,000 or so US dollar GDP per capita, usually till then they're making it with low-cost labour and exports and adopting the technologies of others and making their own products from them. When you reach that level, you run out of low-cost labour, and you can't compete with low-cost labour countries and you can't compete with the high-end innovative countries. And so you're stuck between them. That's where China is just reaching. So the next step has got to be the consumer economy. And so how do you build a consumer economy? A government can tell its people, especially in China, to do a lot of things. You can't tell them to spend their money. So the onus is on the government to make the citizenry happy so they spend their money, so the equation has changed a bit.
Yet those who would defend the Chinese model also have some pretty strong arguments. By keeping massive companies in the hands of the government, China has been able to divert profits from one sector into another. This means, for example, that it's been able to roll out a mind-blowingly enormous expansion of the subway systems in large Chinese cities while keeping fares cheap by taking funds from elsewhere to cover the cost. The government has been praised for this as a form of building for the future. But again, James McGregor is critical. He says the transfer of funds is not transparent, and that heading up these state-owned enterprises, or SOEs, has become a political job. He points to the organisation department of the Communist Party choosing the heads of all these companies from amongst its ranks.
Yeah, you can keep taking money from one pocket to another and one pocket to another, and state banks putting up money that doesn't get paid back, but eventually it all comes to question. So I think services where private enterprise necessarily wouldn't be able to make the investments, and having the state do that, fine, but have the government fund it. Because if you have another sector that's funding it that has a monopoly that is preventing efficiency and competition in that sector, and everybody's got an Audi and everybody's got a golf course membership and everybody's going on to villas in Xiamen, there's not a lot of accountability. You know, competition works. And I'm not some rabbit everybody's got to compete in every sector, but you know, we've seen where you have competition, you get a lot better services.
So what about those competition between standard enterprises? Is it that, what I'm asking you, is it the intrinsic state-owned enterprise-ness that means they can't create jobs in your view anymore? Or like, if you had lots of them and they were competing with one another, could that work? Or
nah.
Why not?
Well, because they're all appointed by the organization department of the party, and they take the oil companies and they shift the executives of the oil companies around to change oil companies. They do the same things with the telecom companies. It's a political organization more than a business organization, because these people are politicians who have political careers ahead of them. And I think some of them, I met a lot of them, they're very capable, smart people, but a lot of what they have to deal with every day is politics more than business decisions. Now, we had this in America for quite a while, but they weren't state-owned enterprise. They were basically private monopolies like AT&T and IBM, and it worked for a while, but competition is what knocked it off.
And with the explosion of so-called social media in China, even with censorship as it is, these debates are now swirling around cyberspace.
It's unsustainable what's going on. What has gone on is unsustainable, both in terms of economic growth and in terms of the citizenry putting up with the level of corruption, because look, there is first time in Chinese history two-way communications. With social media, with the internet, people know what's going on and they're informed. And so that makes it a different ballgame.
So where does this leave the Communist Party with its monopoly hold on power?
I think the political system, what they themselves say is that it has to evolve. I mean, if you listen to the party, they're talking about internal party democracy, like the LDP in Japan in its day, where you have factions in the party. They're talking about it. I don't know how to do it. My God, how do you go? I think every Chinese person knows if the party disappears, there's nothing left, because the party is everywhere. And so if you don't have the party, what is left? I can make no prediction there, but I don't talk to anybody in the government that doesn't think they need political reform of some sort, which means more accountability, more of the government stepping back and letting more civil society happen. But it's going to be hard, you know, because go back to the education system. Chinese people are brought up to be subjects, not citizens. And so you've got to shift the whole equation around where people feel responsible for their country, not waiting for the government to do something for them.
Whatever happens here, the challenges are definitely huge. And a new leadership team has renewed many people's hopes for reform in China. But with so much in play, socially, politically, and economically, China's rulers will probably not be in a hurry, whatever they do. This is Stephen McDonnell in Beijing for Correspondents Report.